الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. There are plenty of things to be said. We'll just try and fit in two subjects for today, inshallah. But before that, as I hope we all have, inshallah, taken note, when the kitab was read, that a person who reads Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Tabarak Alladhi between Maghrib and Isha, he gets the sawab as though he stood for ibadat on Laylatul Qadr. That is for the whole year. Every night of the year we can make it Laylatul Qadr. And now when we are in Ramadan, more we should pay attention to it. Allah give us all tawfiq that we should, yeah, meals we have to attend, we have to go and have the meals for logistical reasons. So have our meals, come back, and then carry on with our ibadah. And then just before Isha, reasonable time, go and get fresh again. If we have to, we have to go to toilet, we have to take wudu, do it again. So just set ourselves up, but we should not miss this out. This one of every part of deen, which is so virtuous and so important. One important aspect of our lives that we have to pay attention to, and which is a compulsory and fard ain. It is fard on every individual. And as we talk, all of us see, have we ever even understood it, given it its importance? And that is our tazkiyah, to purify ourselves, to correct our lives. Okay? So this is a farad on each and every one. If we don't do our tazkiyah, we have left out a great farad, and the harm is unimaginable. In this dunya also, and Allah save us in the qabr, in akhirah, day of qiyamah. This tazkiyah is to purify ourselves. That is, to discipline ourselves, to bring within ourselves that strength and power that we easily and naturally fulfill the commandments of Allah Ta'ala and stay away from all what Allah has made haram. It is like this body, and it is controlled by the nafs. The nafs is, we can understand it like a driver that is a maniac. A driver on the road that doesn't care about anything, is driving really wild. Like sometimes we have, children are with their parents or grandparents and they urge them, speed more. And when they are alone on their own, and how many cases have happened? Youngsters on their own, boys also, girls also. We have so many cases on record, and they just go wild speeding, and what terrible accidents, how many die, how many are injured, crippled for life, paralyzed for life, etc. So like that, if in our body, the nafs, and it is unrestricted, and it's just going as it wants to, and it's leading our life, that is how we are carrying on in life, really. Like that person on the road that has got no control whatsoever. Or you're a reasonable, matured driver, but you lost control of your car. And now the car is in control of you. And when this happens, it is reported, it is said, when you turn the steering to the right, the car goes to the left when it is out of control. When you brake, press brakes, it skids at a speed. You can't just brake suddenly also and press down. So like that, if our nafs is in charge, this is our case. And it has been made farz on us that we have to learn to bring this under control. We bring the nafs under control. And actually, the ruh has to be in charge. If the wrong person is driving, a young boy is driving, and the father says, I want to sleep, and he's sleeping, and an unlicensed young boy, 14, 15 year old, who just wants to be like wild, what will happen? So yeah, if we got the nafs running the show, and the nafs is not trained, not disciplined, and the ruh, which is supposed to be in charge, and the ruh is nowhere in the picture, then what will happen? And that is, now each one of us see how our eyes are out of control, our tongue is out of control, and with the most dear people, with the wife, we speak all so many wrong things we speak. And we hurt feelings, we break the hearts of people, just because the tongue is not under control. And the eyes are not under control, our thoughts are not under control, and our matter was so terrible, and worse it made it with the cell phone. Now with the cell phone, it has just made all this, what was evil and wrong, it has given it more vent. So it is very important that we understand, each one of us, that we have to go through this process until a person can become an alim also, he can become a hafiz also, he's also, but till he does not do tazkiyah, he does not purify and bring his nafs under control and discipline it, still just knowledge is not sufficient. Knowledge is a great thing, but together with that, to bring this within our lives. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has stressed this many places in the Quran. May Allah Ta'ala make it that we can understand that as we give time for everything, for our breakfast we take out, we give time. For our washing the car, we take out time. Going to the toilet, we take out time. Like that, for our tazkiyah, it is also imperative that we have to take out time and see to it that we go to a hospital, we go to a place, spiritual hospital, we go to a place where our tazkiyah can take place. Ulama of tasawwuf say, in our times, at least 40 days in a person's lifetime. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to stress a lot. For many jamaats come to meet Hazrat, take his duas also. He tells them, you can give all the chillas and give them. You must give them. But one chilla in your life, spend it for your tazkiyah also. And then see the difference of all your work which you are doing. And alim, he graduates at the age of 22, 25, whatever age he graduates. And hopefully he'll do work of the another 30, 40, 50 years. But he gives that one chilla there. It will make all the difference for that 40, 50 years. So this is a very important aspect. And unfortunately, normally all these things work, which are so important, we pay no attention to it. Perhaps all of us are such that we never thought of it also that I have to make my tazkiyah. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand this. And then we work in this direction to purify our nafs, to bring the nafs under control, to discipline it, and to put the ruh in charge. Nafs is that which is from this dunya, and it wants all the enjoyment and all the things of this dunya. So it only inclines to dunya. It has got no idea of akhirat. It doesn't prepare for that. It's got no idea of the commandments of Allah, the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of akhirat. It's only about this dunya. And any person we know, whatever we have a discussion, two brothers, husband, wife, one is only for dunya. And the other person understands that akhirat is important, deen is important, and to follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is important, then how can they discuss? The one only looks at it from dunya's point of view. So nafs is only for dunya. And ruh understands it came from akhirat, from alam-e arwah, from out of this world. And it knows it has to prepare for that. But we have locked it up. We have subdued it. And nafs, we have given it the freedom. So an effort has to be made. Like for everything else we make an effort, for this also an effort has to be made that the nafs comes under control and the nafs is subdued and the ruh is in charge. A person who does that, and in today's times, 40-day period, we spend it correctly and in a khanqah by a sheikh in the correct way, then inshallah After that, we can carry on. We don't have to stay in a hospital whole life. You just go for your treatment, you come out, you carry on with your life. Your car doesn't have to be in the mechanic's workshop all the time. It goes there for its repairs, for its maintenance, then it has to be back on the road again and start serving again. The same way we also. But without doing that, a person puts himself in great, great danger. So we all should think of this, and we should try and spend wherever, where our hearts take to any of our mashayikh. And anywhere in the world, we get today people travel, you need an eye operation, people go where and where in the world. You need some other treatment, we go to different places. For shopping, for a wedding shopping, again, there's just an example, we don't condone it, we don't say this is something to be done. People go for shopping to UK, they go to Dubai, they go to Pakistan for shopping, wedding shopping. So for this important thing, and we are not prepared, then we haven't got the time, we haven't got the money, and we can't go. So this is a very important thing. Allah give us all tawfiq. Another thing also, which also is equally farz on every parent, but we don't pay attention, and it doesn't come to our mind also. And that is tarbiyat, the spiritual upbringing of our children. To bring them up and make them as Muslims. This is the duty of the parent. It is not the duty of the ustad in the madrasa. He is helping us. And he is doing a very limited part. He is only teaching the deen. And mostly in our makatib, it is to teach Quran Sharif, and to teach Masail. But that also, they will teach and ask any ustad who teaches in a maktab, or even in a Darul Uloom today. All the Masail are taught, but how much do the students practice going make namaz? You teach all the masalas about namaz, what breaks namaz, what doesn't break namaz, but how many make namaz? So that part, that to do that amal, that is also the duty of the parents. It is the parents' duty. It's not the ustad's duty. He's just helping us. And then we have to pay fees for the maktab. Generally, that is the situation. MashaAllah, there are still many places where they have the maktab system running free of charge. But otherwise, we pay fees. And in the paying of the fees also, as parents, we are very, very lax. We don't pay the fees. We'll give the children more than enough spending money, more spending money than the fees are. But the fees we won't pay. The clothes we give them to wear, the phone we give them, the tackies and shoes we give them to wear, the t-shirts are so expensive. But the fees we are not prepared to pay. So that is also a very, very great weakness on our side. And even if we pay it, it's still just one little aid for ours. It is our own duty as parents, and both. The father can't push this on the mother, and the mother can't push it on the father. It is a joint effort, and both it is there for us. And we can understand when we are not conscious of our own Islam, and our own, so to say, our spiritual progress, upbringing, tarbiyat, then where are we going to be conscious of our children? At the most, if we are to give them shelter, to give them food, clothing, etc., and really it has come this, when we're sending them to schools, to what we call the secular schools, then they are in charge today of the brain and the heart of the child. The teacher, the school, the whole administration there. And we are responsible to look after the body of the child. We must see to the clothing, the food, etc. If the child becomes sick, we must pay for it. But the child is not ours. The child sleeps in our house. But its heart and mind is not ours. It is not Islam's. It is the enemy's. They have captured it in the grounds of the schools, universities. They have captured their brains and their hearts. And they have left and they have made us so stupid that we are responsible just to look after the body. And that body is not for us, it is for them. So this is the tarbiyat of our children is also extremely important. And to ask ourselves, I myself, everyone, how much time did I put in the tarbiyat of my child? Just perhaps casually asking him, you went for namaz today. That is definitely not the solution. Or did you read your Yasin this morning? And that also we don't do. How many parents even ask the children, did you make your namaz this today? Were you there for namaz? Which masjid did you go to? Who was the imam? We don't worry about it. And even less than that, we are concerned, may Allah forgive us, ask ourselves if we ever make dua for our children. That Ya Allah, make him a good, strong Muslim. That Islamic values are in my child. And this is such a thing, those who did it, their children shone out in life like we can't imagine. But we don't do it. As parents, parents' duas are readily accepted for their children. We'll spend how much we send them to high school, to school, and the fees, the uniform, the textbooks, what a big amount all this comes to. And then when we send them to universities, how much are we spending? But for their tarbiyah, for their real life happiness in this world, that is, without fulfilling the commandments of Allah, there can never be ever joy and happiness. Allah Ta'ala, if He gives, He gives respite for a period. For many things we read, that for a period of about 40 years, Allah will leave you alone. You carry on. For example, if you start your business with haram money, or you get involved in interest, ulama mentioned, and people who have experienced this, they said they have seen, for about 40 years, Allah leaves you untouched. You carry on, and things look very rosy. But then, you don't know from where and what is hitting you. And then you suffer the consequences in this world. Then in the qabr, in the akhirat, Allah forgive us. So the tarbiyat of our children is also a very, very important aspect. And every aspect to see that they get proper Islamic education. And that is not enough. Then it must not be that we also have to see that they are protected from wrong and evil forces. Other type of education. Other type of indoctrination, which takes place with friends also. Today, who their friends are, what are they discussing? We send them to spend a weekend with their friends. But what and what are they discussing? What things are being put into them? And under peer pressure, the little, there are those other children who are like innocent. And they get caught up in smoking, worse than that, they get caught up in drugs, etc. And then when we see the problem, we wonder. And very sad, even a worse scenario, that if somebody, the ustad, have to tell us, your child did this wrong, we'll fight with the ustad. And the mother will come, and in front of all the children, the ustad, how the mother will start shouting and perhaps swearing also, that how can you treat my child like this? And if other parents have to bring to our attention, other grown-up people, that your child was seen here, your child was doing that, we'll, instead of just verifying, correcting, we'll start fighting with that person. So really, what do we want in life? Do we want to be just like animals and make everyone also like animals? Is that all we want? Whereas Allah has given us this beautiful, pure deen of Islam, by which our children... And on one occasion, we were in Lahore, in Jamaat, and one person, family was with, so we were quite a bit with the Masturat Jamaat. And he was in charge of the ladies' work from Raiwin, so we used to go to his house often. So his grown-up son, grown-up about 19, 20 years, but really, at that time, this may be about 50 years ago, I don't recall seeing anywhere in the world a person so obedient, so obliging to his father, that how he looks down, how whatever his father says he accepts. I was just shocked at this. So I asked him, how did you get this in that zamana 50 years ago? Today we're living in a different time completely. So he said, this tarbiyat at home. Have kitab ta'alim at home. And you teach your children, you associate. And for this, our elders used to say, you have to turn your blood into water. To bring up one child, you have to turn your blood into water. In other words, you have to sacrifice. You have to forget all your own comfort. You have to forget all your things. But today also, that is again, about how many things do we lament? Not about anyone else, about myself. We just worried about our own, my comfort, my things must get done. the really the children's things or anyone else's things, we don't really worry. We are just worried about ourselves. And then again, not our basic things, our extra things, and not extra, our haram things. We are more worried. Today, cell phone. That a person is so absorbed with his cell phone. A person, for example, is watching his cell phone. Instead of going in his house, he's gone to the other house. And he goes and sits down there. The wife is so absorbed in her cell phone, she brings and puts a cup of tea for him. Doesn't realize this is not my husband. So we are absorbed and we are all just doing it for ourselves. Just on this cell phone. And yet we take no lesson. We will. It means nothing to ourselves. We'll still carry on just as we are. And not only as we are, going worse all the time. And then we're wondering that we're not getting solutions to our problems. We are doing everything which is the anti-solution. And we want solutions to our problems. How can that happen? So today it is that we realize our own Islah. And Islah is not just that I'm speaking. We fool ourselves. I speak about Islah, somebody gives a very good bayan on Islah, and we think my Islah is made. Or just that we listen to a bayan. Or that we come to the Khanka, we go Islahi Jalsa, we go Majalis, so my Islah is made. But really, did I apply myself? And all this, how beautifully Buzurg say, our ulama say, that in this process, it is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. The Shaykh can only inspire you, but the road you have to walk is you yourself have to walk. The Shaykh can only tell you this is the road map, or he gives you the GPS, but further than that, the actual walking is you have to do it yourself. And a person, he becomes baligh. Baligh, a person who has reached. So we can explain, anyone can tell us how from here to go to Johannesburg. And you explain to the person, but just by that knowledge, you are not in Johannesburg. And with that knowledge also, if you don't follow that knowledge, you won't reach Johannesburg. You'll want to go to Johannesburg and you'll reach somewhere else. Which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali quotes this beautiful poem, "Oh Haji, I fear the route you have chosen, the road you have taken. You want to go for Hajj, but this road will take you to Turkestan. You have taken the wrong road. Where are you going to reach Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif?" So, to have the knowledge is also not enough. And just sitting with the knowledge is not. When we will start walking and accordingly, then we will reach our destination. So, this is a very important aspect that we worry about ourselves and our children and our children's tarbiyat. And there is never a lost case. As we explained a few instances, it can be the last moments of our life. We still turn to Allah. Allah, what a merciful, kind Allah we have got. That He never turns His back upon us. We turned our back on Allah whole life. We did all the wrong things. But the minute you turn to Allah in earnestness and seriously and correctly, Allah's help is there. And how many people Allah help, and what kind of people? Person who murdered 100 people, and the last person he murdered a alim, but still Allah Ta'ala, he was sincere, Allah put him. People who committed, you can't imagine what type of sins. A person like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is going to take the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Allah Ta'ala puts him where and turns his life. So Allah Ta'ala will not deprive us, but we have to go. And we realize our duties and we start doing what we have to do. And when we will do that, inshallah, lot changes will come. In that, a few more points. It comes in the Hadith Sharif. When marriage, many of us, unfortunately, again, the same thing comes. This environment that we are living, and we have handed ourselves to this environment. Call it a Western environment, call it a modern environment. Basically, whatever it might be, an anti-Islamic environment which we are in. So yeah, also, how many of our youngsters, when we get married, then we go and buy a book of, on marriage, how to live with the wife, and even how to have sex with the wife. All we go and buy from their bookshop, their books. Where a person wants to give an Islamic bayan, and he wants to learn how to give bayan, but he goes and buys a book of Dale Carnegie. And then he follows him, and he is the man who was supposed to solve the problems of the world. But he himself committed suicide. Now the person who went down the drain like that, we want to follow him in our dini matters. How? Where is our thinking? Our Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi this time says, when we take poison as medicine and medicine as poison, then we just complain to Allah. What solution can we hope for? My one Ustad, Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say, if you plant weeds and you expect roses to grow, how can that happen? So with our children, we are actually planting weeds. What clothes we give them to wear. And then all on this, small children got their cell phones, the PlayStation, and so many other things, the names also we don't know. What thing? And in all of this, Satanism is 100% in there completely. For example, the one game, just a very long, old thing. It doesn't perhaps apply also. There is a terrible noise taking place in a game. And if you find out what this noise and you stop this noise, nobody likes the noise. But as you go on, what you find out? It is the adhan they are referring to. So they have ingrained in that little child that na'uzubillah, this adhan is the one big noise here. In the same way, they are what are known as the terrible guys who are causing havoc and they are causing destruction. As you go through, they are the mujahideen. They picture them like that, calling them terrorists. Whereas the mujahideen, the true mujahideen, establish truth in the world. And they see to the correct values of life. But they picture them like this, and now you start hating those people. So much so that many of our jokes, especially where we quote the Pathans in our jokes. And that the reason for that whole thing is that the Pathan, the Afghani nation, who the Pathans from all that, they are the ones which even in the hadith it comes that these will be the people who will be the real soldiers of Islam. So in order to take out that spirit of jihad and that, they make us make jokes about them. That these are stupid people. Their brains don't function. And because of that, they are now sacrificing for Islam. So anyone who sacrifices for Islam and lives an Islamic life is a stupid person. Is a person who haven't got brain, who haven't got brains. Is a person who belongs in the 5th century. He belongs there. So this is how they are brainwashing us, and we ourselves are using all this. How they are making us stupid. Allah Ta'ala let us just understand. So anyway, marriage is not just to have sex and just to satisfy our lust. It is to bring children into, and children not only the physical children, but the true spiritual children. That those children are imbued with these qualities. And right from the beginning, if a child is 2 days old, 2 weeks old, a boy or a girl, and you have to put Islamic dress, the mother or father, everyone in the house, even perhaps the ulama, the pious people, from now already kurta, from now already urni, from now already burqa, everyone will have an objection. But put a Jewish dress on this child, Christian dress on this child, Western dress, no, everyone will smile. Oh, how cute the child looks. How lovely the child looks. Nobody will have any objection whatsoever. So we have to see that from the language of the child. Children today, what language they speak is unimaginable. And where are they getting it all? It's not just some wahi coming to them. It is what we have allowed them to have. All these PlayStations, all these games on the phone, and at one time, which is also now an old thing, that the mother will put the child in front of the TV with some Disney, all that games or things what happening there to keep the child amused. Or give the child panado syrup, let the child sleep. And the mother carries on what she wants to do. But the thing is, if we want to have children, and it's an Islamic system, we have to turn our blood into water. You have to sacrifice for your children, then you get children. The wife of the king of Afghanistan, Dost Muhammad, very long time, we explained it recently also now, where the enemy attacked his country, and then the news came, military intelligence, that the enemy has been successful, and his son, the prince, went and repelled the enemy, he got defeated. But the wife told, when she saw the husband is so worried that what is happening, she said, it's impossible. The son has won. They say, what, you stay in the house, you know nothing of the outside world. Then afterwards, when they found out the true, the proper news came, the son was victorious, and he defeated the enemy. Then the king went and asked her, how do you know? You stay in the four corners of the house here, you know nothing. She said, when he was born, I did not even use your money to breastfeed him, to eat my food, because your money is also tainted. So he was a pious person, but how particular she was. Well, with her own hands she worked and earned money, the queen. And then with that she fed the child. She said, a child that's brought up with that halal can never lose in life. So that was the condition. So this is that what we have to have. But today, what food we are giving? All the junk food. And that is adulterated, or it is totally overtaken with all the, and we can't help it ourselves without us going to eat out. If we want to be a little bit reasonable, we'll say once a month also only we'll go, or once a week only. But really, for a Muslim, and this brings us to another point, all our matters, we are judging them according to the outside way. The Western way, the modern way, that what's wrong to go and eat, to go and eat, to go and eat out. You go with the family, nice, everyone goes out, there is a function taking place, engagement party is wrong. But you're going and they're going to have separate, and we all know, everyone knows that is just words, that it will be separate. But all know that everyone will be mixed there, and everyone, they'll say no music, but all know music also is going to take place. But how we judge it? All the family is going to get together. You are now, why are you stopping this? The wife doesn't want to go, or the husband doesn't want to go. You are spoiling everything. And we don't look at it from an Islamic point of view. And we don't want to support a person also who's got an Islamic point of view. We will try and cut that person down. We won't support that person also. And the person, this other Western way, that just now, it's all right, it's a bride, the family is getting together, eat day, what's wrong if we all also just go? And how everyone is dressed there, the tight dressing, the see-through dressing, everything has the mixing and talking and the joking and the jovial environment there. And we all know, we unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, people ask us the question, what happened at this, from one bride, then where, how many marriages break up? From all these conditions, it isn't just that these things happen, but how many wrong things happen after that. So it is very important that we become conscious that for my own islah also, and then the tarbiyat and the spiritual upbringing of my children, that I have to give time for this. I have to sacrifice. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, when we have got young children in the house, don't even go on any journey overseas or anywhere. Stay and you give time for your children. Our greatest asset are our children. If we bring them up properly, they're going to carry our name. Our money is here today, tomorrow it's not there. Our investments and properties are there today, tomorrow they are not there. Our children are going to carry it. So if we give time for our children, and in that process, the dressing also, what kind of clothes we give them to wear, what is the food that we give them also. It must be, of course, halal money, and it's payment, what more to say. And then again, the food, the source of buying it must be the right food, and then the food must be the right food. Today, with all the junk food, and it is so sad that even in Ramadan, our sehri is on junk food, our iftari is on junk food. What is the value of that rosa going to be in between? And today we just can't live. Today our young girls, they don't know basics of frying an egg. The girl doesn't know. And this is not only with girls that are gone to universities, but very sadly girls who have become alimas, they don't know anything of the kitchen. Because they are all the time, their interest is only to teach, whereas the primary duty of a girl is the house. That is her first primary duty, her husband. You don't need an business executive when you get married. You don't need a business lady when you get married. And when you have children, you need a mother for your children. Not your children are given over to some nanny who looks after them, or some day school or something, crèche or something, and the mother is doing her own thing. No. And the bond between mother and child, if we make our tarbiyat, and then we with our children, that will go into our children. Otherwise, they will be also deprived of it. And we have those cases also, where they were left with nannies, etc., to bring up. Those women breastfed them, and they had AIDS themselves. And the poor child now got AIDS from it when it's born, a few months old, few weeks, and the poor child has now got AIDS. And how many other things? And perhaps AIDS is so terrible, perhaps worse than that, all that bad qualities, akhlaq, atheism, disbelief in Allah, that all also goes down. And the children are now beset with that. They are living with that now. And all we are doing now, just looking after their body. And otherwise, mentally, and from their heart, they are our enemies. They don't like us. They don't like their parents. Because the parents have to tell them about namaz or something. What they lack is that freedom which is in the school. What they lack is that freedom which is on the cell phone, which is on the TV, on all those things. And they hate their parents. And what we have to do is just continuously just keep on feeding them and letting them grow up. And who are we bringing up? We're bringing them up like enemies of ours. We are making our enemies stronger and stronger all the time. And while we are getting weaker and weaker, we are getting into our old age, we are getting weaker, our children, we made them our enemies, and we're making our enemies stronger, and we're growing the enemy in our home. Who does a thing like this? But this is how stupid the West and these people have made us. Maulana Ali Mian Sahab writes that these people, not one moment they have spared in order to destroy Islam and Muslims. And we are fast asleep. All the time. And all we have to do, we don't have to fight them and plan against them. All we have to do, our complete protection is in deen. If we bring deen, sunnah in our life, it is such a protection that we have got, such armament that nothing of the world can penetrate it. Shaitan cannot destroy what a deen has got. Just one little example. Imam Razi, rahmatullah alayhi, he said when he was on his dying bed, and he was a great philosopher, and he had given proofs of Allah's existence. Shaitan came, and one proof of his shaitan broke it. Shaitan, the knowledge he's got, who can stand in front of shaitan? When he broke all his proofs of the existence of Allah, now he had to accept that now there isn't Allah, because all his proofs were broken. At that time, just that little connection, yeah, he saw his sheikh in a vision, and the sheikh told him, tell shaitan I believe in Allah without a proof. Now which proof is shaitan going to break? And if we all believe in Allah according to our deen, what our deen teaches us, we don't have to worry of breaking their proofs and how they're planning against us and what big think tanks they have got and what their plannings are. Today we think we are really great and we have achieved a lot when we know how they are planning, and they passed this resolution and they're doing this and they're doing that and what the Jewish protocols are and all those things. We don't even have to have any knowledge of that. We haven't got knowledge of deen. We have to have knowledge of deen and bring deen in our lives. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. In the process of this also, we are taught that when children are 7 years old, then separate the sleeping place also. For what is that? There is that instinct in a boy, in a girl, boys and boys also, so separate. Today they are working right from crèche and kindergarten. They got the children naked, little 3-4 year olds, and they playing together. And they are experimenting on the anatomy of the other one. What will this lead to? What Islam taught, that even in the sleeping, even your own children, separate them now. How much? And then we see another very important thing also. One aspect that we have to learn is the greeting in Islam. Greeting in Islam, there are three levels. One is verbal greeting. Assalamu alaikum. This also we have discussed, and this also we have discarded really. But that verbal greeting. And this is a person you meet every day. Then you just greet him with assalamu alaikum. More than that, very good. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You don't have to give your hand. For if you, who you meeting every day. From there we see our eldest, Allahu Akbar. How great. Maulana Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, people used to stand up for him, used to become very, very angry. Especially if they are sitting and he comes and they, like people jump up. Oh, Hazrat has come, Buzurg has come, greet him. You say, am I a snake or something? Like now you are frightened for me, you're jumping up and you want to go away. So we should avoid that. Yeah, also when I have to go out and all stand in the lines and that is not our tariqah at all. That shouldn't be there. Somebody has got something to meet. The first day you came, you come up, you meet, we discuss, no problem. But like every day, every time, and then we come, that is not our tariqah. Hazrat Maulana of Maulana Salimullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Allahu Akbar, what a beautiful thing he said. He said, when I go to the house of Allah, to masjid, I go as a slave. And a slave, nobody picks up the shoes of the slave. A slave, he has to see to everything. He hasn't got a khadim also. So when I go to the house of Allah, I'm a slave of Allah. So my shoes, nobody. And these buzurgs, they don't even allow that what's called it, anyone must pick up their shoes also. And especially coming to the masjid, I'm a slave, am I coming now like a big shot? It is like going to Rauza Mubarak, and you got all khadims with you, and they are now holding you, and they respect, in front of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have go there as a slave in front of Allah's Rasul. We are such that we can't even present ourselves, and we want to present ourselves like some big people. Or we make in tawaf of Baytullah, and that also we make it in such a way that we need all people around us, and that your person is ill or needs some support, no problem. But just like there is a special person. We are not special people when we are in the house of Allah, when we are in these places. So our elders were very particular. So anyway, when we are meeting, then just verbal meeting. And greeting. When we meet, are we meeting now and then every week or 2 weeks or something? Then it is with the musafaha. The hands will meet. And musafaha is from safha, that is the palm. Right here, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was here, and I asked Hazrat Mufti Sahib that how do you make musafaha? So he told me, give me your hand. And just the two palms put together, that is musafaha. He said, that is what has to be done. You just put the two palms together, that is now that meeting. After that comes, if you're meeting somebody after a very long time, somebody went for hajj, somebody is going to see them after a long time, we make what is called mu'anaqa. And perhaps the English language hasn't got a word for mu'anaqa. Mu'anaqa is from the word unuq. The neck. The necks must meet. And if we all had the opportunity, especially the jamaats that come from Peshawar and that side, when they meet properly according to sunnah, they will put their head a little bit front and just let their necks meet. We make our what we call mu'anaka. There is no hugging in this year. And there is no embracing. Embracing, hugging is where you're holding the person. Yeah, it's mu'anaka. And so we make mubatana, where the stomachs meet one another. Or we make musadara, where the chest meets one another. And the mu'anaka, the neck has to meet. And our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair taught us that it should be from your right side and the right side of the person you're making mu'anaka with. Some people say you should do it on the left side, then the hearts meet. But the hearts are not to meet. Only the neck. Your body must be separate. The body of the two people, you meeting your sheikh, you meeting a pious person, somebody who went for Hajj. That also your body is not to meet. Neither your stomach nor your chest, only the neck, and you just push your head a little bit front and let the neck meet. That is what is required. So this is very important also. And yeah, again, that Western or the modern or the outside influence. And today with the complaints that are coming, that the father, embracing, hugging his daughter-in-law, son-in-law, the mother-in-law, these things are right out for us. And kissing, little kiss on the forehead, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that also a rare occasion, not a regular thing. And now we have extended that again, kissing on the cheeks, kissing on the lips, kissing your daughter-in-law on the lips, but these are like becoming common things which are totally alien. And if we don't curb the thing in the bud, it spreads, and then to try and control it, it's out of control. There is no control, and Sharia, our deen, is so strict on this matter, and the harms that are caused from this, unimaginable harms. Not the spiritual is like dead. A person dies spiritually. But even physical harms, if there is this close, why did Islam not permit brother and sister to get married? Otherwise, brother and sister know one another so well, the nature and that. But the child that will be born, what defects the child will have, the worst type of defect. So all this, what Sharia has commanded, is not just to make laws and to just try and make people do this, do that. It is all for our own good. So this is very important, and now each day again, if at least we can try and maintain these things, we don't go around all this hugging and kissing and all that. When your daughter or somebody close like that to you, some very stressful occasion, and you show compassion, no problem. But just to make it a habit like this, and that the norm of that Western way of life, how they live. Today a child will come to meet, for example, a lady, apa, her ustad, her mother will say, hug her. There is no all this hugging in there. If it is, it will be mu'anaka at the most. And mu'anaka is where the body doesn't meet, just the neck meet. So all this, Allah, make us understand these few things, inshallah. So our Islamic way of life, anything today we think of it, we have wanted any occasion or anything, we'll even ask Mufti Sahib that what is wrong with this. And we'll even give a proof from somewhere that this is permissible. But we don't want to solve the point, we don't want the solution from an Islamic point of view. Inheritance. How many people we want it? Western, the court system, because we are getting more in that way. Or any other thing, partnerships, the rights of one another. If we do it Islamically, we don't want everything. We are Muslims, and we have to see it from a Muslim point of view. We know that our akhirat is eternal. So we have to judge it from that point, not for the present little benefit of this dunya, now temporary. No, from that point of view. So Allah make it that we understand how important and the importance of our own Islah. And that actually we do our Islah. And then we carry on our whole life. And then the tarbiyat of our children. very, very, very important, which we are paying practically no attention to. And we are doing the opposite of spoiling our children. The clothes we give them, the food we are giving them, the environment we are exposing them to, whether it be at schools, whether it be at universities, all the opposite. So it is very important that we understand, and these are our farayd, and we are going to be questioned about this by Allah. I'm going to be questioned. All of us are going to be questioned. And in detail we will be asked about this. It's not just a matter of getting over our 60, 70 years of dunya's life. There's a much more bigger story behind all of this. And in the qabr, what will happen on the day of qiyamah, Allah make us conscious also, and let us live accordingly also. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana.